the meeting, this meeting in honor of Mike Duff's career and achievements in physics. And it's been good to see so many friends who've come, who've traveled long distances to be here. So I'd like to welcome you all to the conference. Hope you all enjoy it. As some of you will know, it's also it's a double celebration in that today is also April Fool's Day. And as many of you will know, in Britain we have a tradition of having practical, celebrating this with practical jokes. And Mike's already looking worried. So for example, the British newspapers will often often have stories which look very plausible, but in fact are elaborate hoaxes to test the gullible. Whereas, it of course, it's become more sophisticated, and some newspapers will put in, will go for a double bluff and have articles which are, in fact, true, but look very, very dubious and plausible. So I've often wondered, you know, what it would be like if one were to have a physics conference on April Fool's Day, and if. You know, if, for example, one of the talks turned out to be a very plausible, but in fact completely possible hoax, whether anyone would notice and how many people would notice. Or, of course, one could also have a double bluff. So with that note, we put together a terrific program of great scientists from all around the world, all of whom who know Mike and his work very well. And I'd like you to listen very carefully, and I'll leave it to you to decide whether these are all brilliant presentations of the latest research, or whether one of them is an elaborate hoax. And so I think it's, but nonetheless, I think the world talks will be very highly enjoyable. So now I'd like to introduce our head of department, Joe Hague, who's going to say a few words of welcome.
Thanks, Chris, and it's a great pleasure and honour to be here and to welcome you all to this festival in celebration of Mike's career, which of course is quite terrific. I just wanted to say a particular welcome to people who've travelled far and wide to get here, and at the risk of boring other people, just to tell you a little bit about Imperial. Don't worry, I'm not going to go on for long. I know you're much rather listening to Stanley and the science, but just so you can enjoy your environment a little bit while you're here. This site was established for sort of scientific and technical activity in the Great Exhibition 1851 by Prince Albert, who was Queen Victoria's consort, her husband, and was interested in this area. And there was a big building which is no longer here, but the profits from that exhibition were so enormous, something like £185,000, that they were able to build the three large museums that are still here today, the Natural History Museum, the Science Museum, and the Victoria and Albert Museum. If you might care to enjoy those, they're all free entry. A little bit later, in the 1880s, the three constituent colleges of Imperial College were established on this site, the Royal School of Mines, Royal College of Science, and City and Guilds Institute. And that's the nucleus of the Imperial College that we have today. The Imperial Institute, which was set up in 1887, and the remains of that is the Queen's Tower, which I'm afraid you can't go up, but you can admire it from many very far distance, was set up to, I don't think we use the word exploit, but the raw materials of the empire. I remember being imperial in those days was a bad thing. It was really admired. And in 1907, Imperial College itself was actually established. And there's been many famous worthy alumni of Imperial College, one of whom of course was Thomas Huxley. You're in the Huxley building today, and it's quite pertinent because he was known as Darwin's, a biologist, he was known as Darwin's bulldog for supporting Darwin in the Royal Institution when he was getting a lot of bad press from elsewhere. In physics, the first National Solar Physics Observatory was set up here by Sir Norman Lockyer, who was also the founder of Nature magazine. That was in 1875, and he was the head of that solar observatory until it was transferred to Cambridge, late in the century. And the first technical optics course in the country was set up here in 1917. There's been four Nobel laureates in physics from Imperial College, of course, the latest was Abdus Salam, whose name endows the chair that Mike now occupies. Great pride, if you can say that. And today there's about 1,500 people in the physics department, half of those are undergraduates, 120-odd faculty. We offer 6 undergraduate programmes and 6 postgraduate programmes, which 2 incorporate a substantial amount of theoretical physics. There's 9 research groups spanning a wide range of physics, and one of these, of course, is the theoretical physics group, which is headed by Chris, and of which we're extremely proud for their very excellent and high-profile research. And, of course, the epitome of this is Mike, and we're here today to celebrate his work. And so I won't carry on any longer, but just to say welcome again, and hope you enjoy supergravity, which you can't read because you've got glasses on.
One quick announcement. For those of you coming for dinner, if you haven't already paid, please pay Caroline at a desk outside the door at the first break. And now I'll turn it over to our chairman, Eric, who's going to introduce the first speaker.
Okay, so I'm happy to announce the first speaker of this morning's session, which is Stanley, and he will talk about topologically massive gravity has positive energy.